but the choosing is of the Lord. Sure, I know you have a free will. You can turn from him, from your choosing and from your calling.
And he that sat upon the throne.
But we know what happens to those people, don't we? Being one myself that turned and ran from the Lord for years in my own stubbornness. Ooh. And several of you being one that ran from the Lord in your stubbornness, you've known the sufferings that this causes in your life, haven't you? Knowing even from childhood, some of you, even from childhood, knowing the glory and the visitation of the Lord, not understanding it, but even when you were a kid, a small kid, you remember having the experiences that you didn't know what were, but you knew they were the Lord.
The Holy,
haven't you?
Descending out of heaven to God. Having the glory of God.
Being a lot of times blinded, most times blinded by religion in our mind.
Was likened to a stone.
And different ways of man that fills our mind. Sometimes we lose those experiences for great gaps of time in our life. But he never lets us forget it. Sometime, as David spoke, we go into the pit of hell in our sins and our depravity and doing what we want to. There's always something there that never lets you forget it.
On the south three gates.
Oh. Sometime we find ourselves like Paul.
In the city.
We find ourselves even despising the chosen of God.
Neither to shine.
And some have to be struck on the road to Damascus. But he never lets you forget it. Some choose the way of the wicked, and with stubbornness they hold on. Some choose the way of religion, and with stubbornness they hold on. Then they know at the end of life and in the next life they know the wrath of God, because they have set their jaw against the Lord God and his love.
In the nations.
Some have yielded to a demon to try to possess and control others. Interfere with their life. The Lord deals with them in long suffering. But there comes a time when he says, don't touch. My people, don't look at them anymore. And when he says that, and you rise in your heart against him, then you shall be as Herod, that the worms ate his flesh. Been given to me to yield myself unto the Lord. Being bullheaded and goat-headed for many years, I have found the way of hard hitting only leads to destruction.
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount side, and with him 144,000, having their father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed.
And our Lord Jesus took a small child, stood him in the midst. And he said, whosoever shall become as this child shall enter in and be great in the kingdom of God. And many said, how shall I become as a child? Not understanding all of what he meant. He was telling you how that you would return and be utterly dependent, even though you were grown and old in years, return and be utterly dependent upon the Lord. But he was also giving you, as you see, confirmed in the prophets, many places in the scripture, he was giving you, calling your attention to how you're supposed to look at your children. When once your children begin to move into a place to where they have sober moments in the Lord and you catch them following you around in the spirit, and paying attention, then the Lord wants you to begin to develop those characters in them. He doesn't want you to try to push them into anything or decide any of their ministry. He merely wants you to begin to let them share in your eating, your drinking, and your other spiritual activities and let him work in them. They'll have moments of foolishness, like so many of us grown children do. And they'll have moments of no care. But you can tell when the soberness and seriousness of the Lord begins to work upon one of your children. And then it's time for either the mother or the father to begin to let that child operate with them in whatever they are doing. Then they may lapse back into a time when they get ashamed before the other children. And, you know, they may get wild and doing as they please, but then the moments of soberness comes upon them. Begin to watch your children closely. Do not push them. But when you begin to see the soberness coming upon them, quit treating them like a child and treat them as you. all right? For that period of time when that soberness is upon them. Now, Davis, I want you to just hold this in your hand. Hold it in your hands, both hands, right out there before the throne. Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to just follow around, you and Brother Ed, just go around and sprinkle it. Keep your eyes about open, half open, and sprinkle it on the people. In this way, instead of trying to make your child what you want them to be, you will deliver them in their moments of soberness back to the Lord and let Him make them what He wants them to be. Now, if you don't believe that that's working in that child, then you just, need to become as a child yourself. Your children closely for the moments of soberness in them and begin to let the Lord work in them. Take them to yourself and let Him begin to work in them. Do not begin to call them this or call them that. Daddy's little prophet or mother's little prophet. Yeah, you haven't been given that at all. Or you know, no way you can make a prophet or anything else out of your children. This is an old vainglory thing. But begin to treat them as you yourself for that period of soberness. Then if they get back in the period of foolishness, why then put them back in the child's place where they belong and continue on with them, all right? Of course, this rule also applies to the grown folks. Let's all lift our hands to the Lord. Now come on back here, Davis, and sit down right where you were. Feel that glory moving in you. Now also, Sister Gates, hold your rag out in front of you there. Some of you parents have been having problems with your children. Now, I don't mean little bitty problems, things that you should tend to yourself, but some of you are having real serious problems, and you're not able to break through to them because you are blinded to what's working in them. So now the Lord gives you, Sister Gates, this moved into love and also discerning of spirits that she's able to look at children. And she doesn't compromise with them either. But she does not become harsh on them. She does not compromise with them like you have a tendency to do, because her eyes has been opened to the workings of Satan in their life. So she will sit up back here. Now, I mean this. Don't care a bunch of little problems back there to her. You need to suffer these. If you have a serious problem with the children, she'll be sitting up in the dining room back there. And you'll go and talk to her and let her begin to work. Also, the Lord will use this to humble her. Ooh. Ooh. catcher there, Brother E. It is now time for the Greenville Church and the Dallas Church and the Durant Church and the Fort Worth Church to begin to be set in order. Many of you have suspected it, but now you'll have it confirmed that the order that's being set in the Fort Worth Church will be carried into the other churches and will be instituted there. The first beginning. And in order to do this, there needs to be, and there hath been given, a person to see that this order is carried out. So moving out of his position, staying in his position as overseer and coordinator of the Fort Worth Church, he'll begin to move around, working with Brother Ed Harris and Brother Ron Noble. And he'll begin to set and bring in order these churches when the Lord says go. Ooh, all right? Ooh. Baptize him into this place of authority. Again, let me admonish you that have missed any of the teachings, catch up with them on tape and begin to learn about the plumb line ministry that the Lord has given us for this day and begin to learn about the forming of his church in the new creation so you'll not be void of understanding. So you'll not walk in the darkness of your mind. Lord Jesus. Spoken all through the prophets and confirmed out of the mouth of and through the mouth of Jesus Christ was the plan and the order of God for the day that you and I live in. When the New Jerusalem and his churches begin to be built in earth, he takes away the judgment from man, and he takes away from man the qualifying of people that shall enter in. For he said, my elders have sat in the gates, and they have slept and they have dozed, and they have passed in friends which were enemies, and they have passed away enemies which were friends, and they have not judged righteous judgment, and they have not drawn judgment to the line. So I, the Lord God, do make myself sit in the gates, and I do qualify the people that shall enter in to my new Jerusalem. Ooh. and the ones that enter in to the living church of Jesus Christ in this day must come through three steps or three gates. What shall happen to the enemies of my people's body? My sin, their sins and their sicknesses, their worries and their fears, their demons and all their hang-ups. They shall die at the gates. Standing in gate number one is the living, resurrected Jesus. Head and hair white as wool, as white as snow. Eyes like flames of fire. His body shining with the glory and the fire of God. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And in his bowels, there is a pit of fire, and in the bowels of our Father. And the order of God is for the people, whosoever will, to come to this gate, and by faith lay all the workings of Satan, all the workings of their whole life into that pit of fire. And let the Holy Ghost take him out of them and put them in that pit of fire and return back upon them the glory of the Lord. And this becomes very simple under the hand of a minister, me, myself, or anyone else. It is not given unto me to qualify you for entrance into that city. He has taken it away, and he stands in that gate number one to qualify you. And there, through his love and his mercy and his grace, he gives you a place where he, by the Holy Ghost, can cleanse you of all working of sin, sickness, disease, and Satan by your act of faith of putting them in the fire that is inside of him, inside of his bowels, and letting them go down to destruction while you receive a clothing upon of his glory. How shall this happen? Very simple. Though a man be a fool, he'll not err therein. Coming to gate number one, Lord Jesus, I see you right there before me. Head and hair white as wool, white as snow, eyes like fire. Your body shining with the glory and the fire of your resurrection. Clothed upon and one with my Father. And in your bowels, there's a pit of fire, in which now, by faith, I commit my sin, my sickness, and all the workings of my own nature, and all workings of Satan, into that pit of fire, and I accept by faith that they have been destroyed. And the blood wipes out. And the glory returns. Fulfilling the scripture that when my enemies of my people shall pursue them in that day, and they shall come up to the gates of my city, I shall destroy the enemies of my people in the gate. But shall leave my people free to go in and out and move in my glory, saith the Lord. Clothe the bone with the garments of grace, which is the garments of the New Jerusalem. Unclothed with religion, Satan, sin, and sickness. And clothe the bone with the garments of the New Jerusalem. And though a man be a fool, he'll not err therein. No way for him to escape. Once he makes that act of faith, the Lord takes over. Ooh, and even a child shall enter in. But the unbelieving and the wicked shall not enter in. Neither shall the religious, because it is ordained of God that nothing that maketh a lie or worketh abomination, nor it defileth, shall enter in to my new city, my new Jerusalem in earth. But even all being willing, whosoever is willing, let them come, and I will cleanse them and put them a place in my house. Now what shall happen? What shall happen to all the memories of their past life? What shall happen to all the memories of their sins, the memories of their mistakes, the memories of their old religious life, the memories of their unrest? What shall happen to them? Shall they carry them into this new Jerusalem? No. They cannot carry them into this new Jerusalem. Because nothing that defileth nor worketh abomination shall enter in. So, what will he do with all your old past life, all the condemnation of Satan, all your religious things that might come and trap you inside of this new Jerusalem and make you become a scourge and destroy you? Gate number two. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Standing right there before us in gate number two. Jesus Christ stand clothed upon with the Father and in his memory. There is a sea of forgetfulness. And once you come and begin to put your all of your past life in that sea of forgetfulness, it sinks down into that sea of forgetfulness. And there, in that sea of forgetfulness, you are cut loose by the Spirit of grace. And being cut loose from your past life, you're then clothed upon by the garments of Jesus Christ for the new Jerusalem. Turn your head around that way. Around that way. Ooh. Lord Jesus, I see you right there before me. Head and hair white as wool. White as snow. Clothed upon with my Father. And one with my Father. Eye like fire. Body shining with the glory and fire of your resurrection. Feet like fine brass burning in a furnace. And in your memory. And in the memory of my Father. There is a great sea of forgetfulness. In which I do now place all my old past life, all my condemnation, and all workings of Satan, and all religion, into that sea of forgetfulness. And I say by faith in your promise that it has sunk out of sight into that sea of forgetfulness. Oh, wipe them with the blood. Hold the bomb of the garments of grace. What shall happen to those scars of the world, that feeling of being unwanted, and that feeling of not becoming a part of the body? What shall happen to that feeling of being a stranger? What shall join them one unto this new Jerusalem? Shall it be their own efforts? Gate number three. Standing right there in gate number three is a resurrected Jew. Remember, I don't qualify you. I don't say you've entered in. You don't say you've entered in. He says whether you've entered in or not. But standing there in gate number three is a resurrected Jesus Christ. Oh, his head and hair white as wool, as white as snow. Eyes like fire. His body, clothe upon with a garment down to the foot. His body is shining with the glory and resurrection. Of our Father, clothe upon and one with our Father. There in gate number three is the bosom of Abraham, or the heart of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, which has now become one. And once you place yourself in that heart, then there begins to be a soothing, healing balm called the balm of Gilead that moves through you in love and makes you become one in meekness with the people inside. Lord Jesus, I accept you right there before me. Clothed upon and one with my Father. Head and hair white as wool, white as snow. Eyes like fire, body, and your feet shining, resurrection fire and glory. And in you is the heart of you and of my Father. And I accept by faith that since I have been cleansed by the other two gates, that now I am placed upon your heart and upon the heart of my Father. And I have been absorbed into your heart, whole body, soul, and being. Now just feel the Holy Ghost just baptize you right in there, roll upon you. Of love and meekness and submission. Once you go through that Father's heart, you are submitted. But what shall happen to the people that come in to deceive? And they go through the form, but they do not enter in. What shall happen to them? They shall think they are in, but they shall be in my hand, saith the Lord, the fearful hand of a living God. And yea, my judgment shall walk upon them in fire, and you shall know them, for they shall ride in your midst with the enemy, working in the heart and the mind. But when they shall go out, my judgment shall follow them and shall strike them wheresoever they go, saith the Lord. But what shall happen to them that enter into your groups And there they begin to try to distract, and they become spots in your love feast. Behold, I have set watchmen upon the wall. And their eyes have become my eyes, and nothing passeth them. And I have placed in their hands my judgment. And with long suffering shall they look at you with eyes of searching. And with many rebukes shall they swipe you with my blood. But make no mistake about it, saith the Lord. Once the secret thoughts of your heart for harm does rise into action, you shall die before me in the midst of the people. For this is not the day of the wolves, but this is the day of the lamb. And the wolves shall not enter in to the sheepfold and tear and rip anymore. But what shall happen to the enemies outside? The scripture says, behold, the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing. Once a little group or a little work gets started in an area, my, all sorts of things begin to happen. People begin to come against them. Shall you then begin to fight? No. I have set an angel over each church with my sword. A fire. And it hath been fulfilled that you shall rest in the glory of the Lord. And if any come against you from outside, they shall die under the fire of God. And I'm not kidding about this. They shall either die or they shall be smitten with blindness, and they shall turn and fight one another, but you shall not enter into vengeance. You will move in grace and love and the abhorrence of evil, and let the angel that I have given charge over you protect you. What shall happen to the false churches, the religious churches that hold so many of my people and your people in captivity, saith the Lord? What shall be your line of judgment upon them? Written all through the scripture, and especially in the life of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Once she began to bring forth the children, the child of promise, Isaac, she began to cast out all other children into the desert. So now you'll find, saith the Lord, that upon the false churches that are holding my people in captivity, once a little group has made it into the New Jerusalem, I have sent my angel of death over that church to pass over them, and I have written the words Ichabod over their door and upon the mouth and the mind of their ministers. And now, from this time on, my glory hath entirely departed. And from now they shall spew out dust and wormwood upon the people. And my true people that are in these churches shall get sick of that dust and that wormwood. And the men and the women that they thought were mighty men of God shall become as nothing in their eyes. I shall let them eat dust for a while in order to chasten them. But once their eyes are open, that is mine enemy Satan standing in that pulpit, they shall flee unto the house of the Lord. Now, some of you have already begun to see this happening in your kinfolks. So you just leave them alone and let the Lord just work on them. Because they'll get so dry and they'll look so miserable and you'll want to get in there and pet them, but you leave them alone. You go on about your business and they'll get sick. And they'll try to make the promises of that old false church work in their heart. And it won't heal them. It won't deliver them. And they'll become miserable. And in their heart, they'll rise a cursing. That is not God. Of course, they'll hold for a while the admiration of a man or of their friends in that church. But when the pressure from the Lord gets hard enough on them, they'll begin to see Satan in the midst of that false church. And they'll begin to flee. Pride and vanity will hold them for a while. They wouldn't admit it to you at all. Because they don't, for whatever reason, they don't want you to be right. Oh, whatever. But they shall come in contact with some of the people, or either come in desperation unto the house of the Lord, or the Lord will send someone by to heal their blindness, and they'll be delivered into the New Jerusalem. And listen to this. I want you to hear this promise. Many that are last shall be first. I want you to hear this promise. There is nothing like suffering under false religion to teach you to be zealous and love the ways of the Lord. And many times when the Lord has a ministry in a person, he will actually permit them to suffer there, Brother John, until their eyes become wide open. And he'll just tell that falsehood. He'll just turn them over to the falsehood. Just have your way with them. And they're in terrible trouble. They go around their eyes looking like a sick cat. They want to talk to you about it so bad, but they ignore you. Say, well, what if they don't be delivered? That voice doesn't come from the Lord. Because the promise of the Lord is this. And whatever happens to them, this is all you can do. The promise of the Lord is this. You shall be saved and your house. That is a promise. It hath been received, Lord. My house hath been saved. If you will walk in this promise, confessing this quietly inside of you, then the Lord might open up a way for you to talk real strongly, but it will not be in a compromising sort of way. When it comes, it'll be something foreign to you. you'll feel yourself doing something you've never done, and that is, thus saith the Lord. Now, some of you, as you'd rise in you to begin to really declare how terrible shape they're in, it will not come as a soothing love towards them. That will be your fleshly relationship. It will come as an absolute abhorrence for those things that are on them. You'll absolutely hate them. But in that will be love for them, the person. But that abhorrence leads out your ability to deliver them. The love does not lead out the abhorrence. The abhorrence mixed with that love leads out the deliverance, and the love closes upon them. So do not begin to try to soothe them in love, because they are not ready for love. They will take love as a sign that now you're ready to compromise with them, and they'll take that and go on in their own way, won't they? But you begin to rebuke them. Say, well, you know the true and the living God doesn't let people suffer that way. Then shut your mouth and go away. Say, you know the Lord Jesus hath paid for all of your sins, your sickness and diseases. And if you're suffering, something is wrong with you. Shut your mouth and go away. Do not quote scriptures to them. Only give what the Lord says you, and it may be a little short sentence. Just say what he gives you. Don't add anything on to it. Take it away, or take away anything, and leave them alone. And then breathe a prayer. Pour it on them, Lord. Because knowing this, listen to this, you agreeing with the Lord to just chase them. Chase them. Because you have knowledge of whom the Lord loveth, he chased them. If they're in a false church and they're not getting chased, they're not of the love of God. So you know the work of the Lord. Boy, you know how that chastening went on you, and every once in a while it comes on you, because the love of the Lord loves you. So don't begin to agree with the enemy and say, Lord, don't chase them. Just say, pour it on them. Lay it on them, Lord. And every time you see them suffering a little bit in love, just breathe by faith. Lay it on them. Lay it on them. And then claim your promise and go on about your business. Can you live that way? You can. It hath been given unto me to live that way. Lord Jesus, I see you right there before me. Head and hair white as wool, white as snow. Clothed upon and one with my Father. Eyes like flames of fire. Body shining with fire and glory of your resurrection. Standing there in gate number one. With your feet like fine brass. Burned in the furnace. And inside of your bowels, there's a pit of fire, and a pit of fire inside the bowels of my Father, in which hath been placed all my old nature, and all workings of Satan, and all my old life, and hath been utterly destroyed. Now the blood wipes off. Way, but yet the straight way. Oh, but I'm all right. I went through a plan of salvation. Uh-uh. having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Oh, the power comes to you as you are delivered from your old fleshly nature and all its ideas and all working of Satan, and they go down in that pit of fire, then the power moves into your life. And not until then. Oh, get her up, would you? Oh. Gate number two. Oh. Lord Jesus, I see you standing right there before me. Clothed upon and worn with my Father. Head and hair white as wool, as white as snow. Ooh, eyes like flames of fire. Whole body shining for the glory and the resurrection of fire and glory. Feet like fine brass burning a sun. And in your memory, and in the memory of my Father, is a sea of forgetfulness in which now I place all the past mistakes, all of my failures, all condemnation, all working of Satan in my past life. And I say they have sunk and forever disappeared in that sea of forgetfulness. Now remember this, if you do not carry them through this gate and do not establish them in this, you will have trouble with them all time. They'll be condemned. They'll be beat down. They'll be the problem children inside of the New Jerusalem. Now you'll soon learn how to carry them through, run one step and enter them in and then establish them in there. But if they go dragging their old past life in there, their old past religious teaching, and all of their mistakes and the condemnation of their past life, they will sit there problem children and they'll not understand a thing you're saying. And they'll be in trouble all time. And they won't know what to do with it. And you'll be continually having to wipe them and baby them and powder their... I'll hush, but you'll be continually. And about two or three of these kind of people is all you'll be able to stand. And maybe two or three you won't be able to stand. But that sea of forgetfulness must be used. Now remember this. You can use these gates in renewing of the Holy Ghost. Because the Scripture says that you shall go in and out and find food. In and out these gates. You can take a child or they can go themselves to one of these gates at any time and use this gate. Whether they think they need it or not, use it. And soon they'll settle down at rest in their resting place, the New Jerusalem. Oh, Lord Jesus. I know you can't hardly stand it, all three in one night, but that's all right. Gate number three. Now, the scars of the past life and how they have deserted so many times and have failed the Lord so many times leaves people feeling apart from the group. And there's nothing you can do to them to make them feel a part of it. Nothing. Not a thing you can do to them. The more you try to talk to them and persuade them, the more they feel, well, they just pet me. That really means that I am in bad shape. You can soothe around on them, try to assure them, God loves you. You know, God, they love my... They don't believe a word you're saying. They'll agree with you and grin like a Cheshire cat and be the most miserable person you've ever seen. Oh. Gate number three. The only way to rid themselves of that old past guard of life is to let the love of the heart of the Father God work into them that soothing, healing balm of Gilead. That bombs out all those old flies of Egypt and makes them feel one inside of this New Jerusalem. That's the only way. Ooh. Gate number three. Lord Jesus, see you right there before me. One with the Father, clothe the bone with my Father. Head and hair, white as wool, white as snow. Eyed like flames of fire. Garment all the way down to the foot. Body shining with resurrection fire and glory. Feet like fine brass burning in the fire. And your heart and the heart of my Father filled with love for me. I come now by faith and accept that my whole body, my whole soul, and my whole being hath been placed upon your heart and hath been absorbed into your heart. Now just feel the glory. Oh, move in there. And let them weep and move into that. His plan is perfect. He does not give unto you to choose, neither does he give unto me to choose. But he said in that day, I will stand in the gates, and I will judge my people in love and righteousness, and I will destroy their enemies at the gates, and then I'll say, enter in thou unto the house of the Lord and rest with me. Well, you're trying to change everything. Never changed it. From the time he appeared in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 1, Revelation, the first chapter, verse 13 through 18, from that time he appeared there to John on the Isle of Patmos, that was the plan of salvation. Whether you agree with it or not, that was the plan of salvation. And if you went through the other plans of salvation, you might have gotten saved in a touch of the Lord. But you are moving in the hands of religion and Satan. And if you base your faith upon anything except the resurrected Christ for your salvation, you are in trouble. Well, I'm doing all right. That means you're in trouble. Oh. Who wants to be next? Oh, wait a minute. You've been through there so many times that it's pitiful. Come on here, Ken. Come on, Pete. Barbara. Sit down, Lamar. You've been through there so many times. Oh. You can come on up here and help me, though. Oh. Lord Jesus, I accept you're right there before me. Gate number one. Clothe the bone and one with the Father. In there, white as wool and white as snow. Eyes like flames of fire. Your body filled with glory and resurrection. And in your bowels is a pit of fire. In which I now, by faith, place my own nature and all working of Satan. And accept by faith. They have been destroyed. Wipe him with the blood. Spirit of life. Let the glory flow upon him. Oh. Still gate number one. Lord Jesus, I accept you right there before me. One with the Father. Head and hair white as wool. As white as snow. Body shining. With the glory and resurrection fire. In your bowels, and in the bowels of my Father. is the pit of fire, in which I say all my old nature and all working of Satan hath been placed and hath been destroyed. Wiped with the blood. Still gate number one. Lord Jesus, I see you right there before me. Clothed, the bone and one with my Father. Head and hair shining white as wool, white as snow. Eye like fire. Body filled with fire and glory of your resurrection. And in your bowel, and in the bowel of my Father, a pit of fire, in which I by faith have placed